It is time for Kaleidoscope on KDOM, and we are talking with Liz Stahl from the University of Minnesota Extension Office. How are you today?
Doing good.
So, here we are. Seasons are changing. There's actually a little bit of moisture out there.
It's been a long time since we've gotten some moisture, and we certainly could use a lot more. And certainly before, you know, the soils freeze up here, and I know they're talking a little bit of snow. It'd take a lot of snow to get the soil recharge that we need right now. But if you look at that U.S. drought monitor, I mean, all of southwestern Minnesota is either in a moderate, severe, or extreme drought. You know, and I don't need to say it, but that's not a good thing. You know, again, we need to be recharging that soil. Last fall, you know, or last year, of course, we had drought conditions as well. We're coming in really dry. I was looking at, at Lamberton at the Southwest Research and Outreach Center. Their measurements that I last saw posted on there taken in the middle of October. So, again, even their November 1st, that's probably going to look worse. But they weren't detecting any moisture in that top 24 inches of soil, you know, no available soil moisture. And the readings there at least, you know, 3 to 4 inches below what the long-term averages would be, you know, one of the lowest readings that they've recorded there. So we need some moisture here. Hopefully we can get some nice rains. I think that soil is just going to really soak anything up that we get. That would certainly help us as we move into the winter season here.
Mm. And are we looking at, I mean, I know it's too early to know how much snow we get through the winter, but is there concerns about what's going to happen in the spring?
Well, you know, again, if we don't get much moisture recharge, we're going to be, you know, that's the thing. A lot of times when we have that crop growing, we're relying on those reserves when we don't get much moisture. And you know, the nice thing about our area, you know, we've got soils that are high in organic matter. They can retain that moisture longer than, say, sandier soils. So that has always helped us out in these situations. But, again, when you just don't even, you know, like I said, in Lamberton, they're not even detecting any available soil moisture in the top 2 feet of soil. Pretty tough to get a crop germinated when it's dry like that. Mm. So, you know, we're going to really be counting on timely rains. But, I do hope that we do get some recharge here. You know, with snow, that's a tough one to really count on, too, because, you know, kind of that rough estimate is about 10 inches of snow equals like an inch of precipitation. But, you know, do you get runoff of that, too, and the soils are frozen? Is that getting into the profile when it melts, too, if the soils are still frozen? So we might not really, you know, that might not be accessible much for recharge either. We'll take the precipitation that we can get, I think, right now.
Absolutely. So everybody go outside and do a rain dance.
Yeah, that's right, if they haven't already been doing that.
Right. Now, I think I heard like over 80% of the harvest is done now.
Yeah, I mean, most of the, we're pretty much got things wrapped up here, for beans certainly and corn as well. Might be a few fields here and there that are left to go, but again, pretty much everybody's got the crops out. And talking with people too, it's surprising. Again, it depends where you're at, you know, when you got rains this year and how much you did. But I'd say overall, I think people have been pleasantly surprised with corn yields. I've heard some really nice yields. Again, this, you know, the soil types that you have, that's a really key player in how things performed this year, you know, what hybrids you had out there, of course, as well, too, but, you know, when you got the rains and how much you got, too. But, it's pretty amazing what those genetics can do. Soybean yield, you know, I think they held their own, too. It could have turned out a lot worse, and again, people have gotten respectable yields. Probably not, I'd say, overall has done as well as the corn yields did in general. Soybeans really put on that yield, you know, during that August time when those pods are filling, and we just, you know, didn't have moisture in a lot of areas during that time either. But again, you know, even with these really dry conditions, I think that's helped us out, we did decently well. One thing with soybeans, though, as well as Bruce Potter, he's our IPM specialist out of Lamberton, put out some information about this too. You know, one of the things that could be holding us back in soybean yields too are just, you know, soybean cyst nematode. They do better when you have drought conditions. That reproduction rate goes up. So even if you had a resistant variety out in your field, you're still, you know, likely getting some reproduction of the soybean cyst nematode. So that is, can most definitely have a yield impact, even again if you have a resistant variety out there, because most of our varieties all have that same source of resistance, that PI88788. So we're getting resistance developing in our fields. So that's one thing to be keeping an eye on too. You know, just make sure if you can't mix up those genetics as you're getting seeds, make sure at least you're getting a different variety out there, so you're getting a different package of resistance out in your field.
Very good. Well, I hate to say there was one benefit of all this dry weather, but boy, the harvest sure seemed like it flew by this season.
Well, it did. You know, people just didn't really need to take much of a break. You know, you had some breakdowns. Of course, you know, equipment doesn't break down until you're using it. But I think that's probably the only way that people really got a break this year, because it certainly wasn't, you know, wasn't rain. And that also led to a lot of tillage, you know, and we do a lot of tillage in this area. And, you know, the thing is, I really encourage people to be looking at reduced tillage practices. We've done a lot of research on strip tillage, for example, and I just think that is, you know, a really nice fit for our area, because we do have those heavy clay loam soils. You know, we can have challenges with soils warming up in the spring. And, you know, in more normal years, you know, we worry about too much moisture sometimes in the spring too. And again, strip tillage, you know, that's where you're just tilling that, say, about 10 inches, and then leaving the other 20 inches, say, if you're in a 30-inch row system. You know, that's where you're only disturbing the soil. So that really helps you with residue management, helps you, you know, keep those organic matter levels, helps with just general soil health, reducing erosion potential, reduces your fuel costs, it should, you know, and labor costs. People have reported, you know, much less labor costs because you're not doing as much tillage out there. So again, I really encourage people to be looking at that versus all this full-scale tillage that we do, you know, because you're going to see if we get wind, and we'll get wind, you know, a lot of that topsoil, we lose a lot of that when we don't have any cover in the winter here, and that's always a concern. Sure, we have a lot of topsoil now, but if we keep losing it, you know, it takes a long time to build topsoil, and we're losing it at a faster rate than we're building it. So again, something like strip tillage, I really encourage that. And also, if you haven't been no-tilling your soybeans, you know, I encourage you to try it out on a few acres. And sure, you might see, you know, sometimes we see a slight yield reduction, but you've got to look at the whole, you know, the whole bottom line there. Did you save on fuel costs? Did you save on machinery costs? You know, labor costs, things like that too. So a lot of people have been happy with that as well. So again, you know, there's a lot of tillage that has happened, but I do encourage, it's encouraging to see some reduced tillage out there, and I sure hope we could see more in the future here too.
And I'm guessing there's all kinds of information about this on the website.
Yes, we do. Like Jody Dion Hughes, she's my counterpart out of the Willmar Regional Office, just put out like a Midwest tillage guide on this. We have our Soil Management Summit coming up here in December, and that's where we'll talk a lot about, you know, reduced tillage. We'll talk about cover crops, other soil health practices as well. And again, like you said, we've got a lot of nice resources on our website talking about the trials that we've done and long-term studies. So again, really encourage people to check that out. And again, that Soil Management Summit, that's December 15th through 16th in St. Cloud. We do have registration available, started just now, so I do encourage people to check that out if it's something that you, you know, want to learn more about.
Very good. All right, let's see, fertilizer time too.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, again, where you can do fall fertilizer, I think finally, you know, those soil temperatures, we've had some really warm conditions, and, you know, we're concerned about that soil temperature at that 6-inch depth. Because again, like when you're applying anhydrous, for example, that's the zone where that, you know, where the fertilizer should be going. But, you know, if you're above 50 degrees, the activity of the denitrifying bacteria, you know, they're more active when we get warmer temperatures. So then that converts that, anhydrous ammonia converts it to forms that are more susceptible to leaching, for example, and loss. So again, we're finally, I think we're going to be stabilizing, hopefully, the cooler temperatures in that 6-inch zone. But also, one thing to be looking at too, and it's so dry out, might have issues with that soil sealing properly. Now, and we're getting hopefully a little bit of rain here, that hopefully can help that out. Or if you have like large pore sizes, again, you could lose some of that anhydrous ammonia as well too, again, just because that soil's not sealing up properly. So, you want to make sure that that nitrogen is there for next year's crop. So, that's one thing, watching those conditions. Plus, when we're looking at fall nitrogen, the research has been coming in, and, fall urea just does not do as well as anhydrous, and that includes our area as well. So that is not a form that we would recommend applying in the fall, just because you have such a high chance of loss due to that, and that's translating to yield reductions too. So we'll be talking more about that too in our winter meetings as those get set up as well. But just again, really encourage, if you're going to be putting out fall nitrogen, you want to have that nitrogen be there in the spring and the next growing season. So again, anhydrous is really the form that we want to be applying, and not something like fall urea.
Very good. You mentioned meetings coming up. You do have a summit on the way too.
Yep, like that soil management summit I was mentioning earlier with the reduced tillage. Again, that'll be in St. Cloud. We do have registration available online for that. A number of soil and water conservation districts are also offering scholarships for people to attend that too. So I encourage you to check with them as well, because there's a registration fee to attend. But again, it's a great program. We have, our extension specialists are there. We have people from outstate attending as well. We'll have some graduate students talking about their projects. We have crop consultants as well, farmers sharing their experiences. I'll be talking there about some of our cover crop work as well too. So again, really do encourage people to check that out and get your registration in early so you hit the early bird rate.
Absolutely. And as always, if you have any questions, call or go to the website.
That's right. And again, that extension website is z.umn.edu/crops. And there you can find out, again, all our fertility guidelines, upcoming events. So there'll be a lot more events, of course, starting to roll out here as we move into the winter meeting season and so forth.
Very good. Liz, is there anything else we need to add today?
Well, again, I just hope we do get some rain here before things freeze up. Hope everybody has a good Thanksgiving here too, since I won't talk to you till we're past that.
Very good. All right. Liz Stahl, thank you for talking with us today.
All right, thank you.
And that will do it for Kaleidoscope this morning on KDOM.